Aaron, who is the head guy over at Triple J Auto Group, comes in. So get your dialing fingers ready, 477-5757, if you want an opportunity to ask Mike Farron some questions about your car. Just know that it doesn't have to be from a make that is on the fleet, in the fleet of the Triple J. He is prepared to answer any question about any car. Welcome to the studio, Mike. It's been a while since we have been able to talk to you, and I'm just talking solution with the headphones. We missed you last week, but we always get Adam Butcher, and he's a fine replacement.
All righty, yeah. That's great. Yeah, I'm sorry about the last week.
Did you have to go to Saipan again?
Yeah.
Was that was for work?
That was for work. You know, they needed some assistance on some stuff and some guidance. So, you know, whenever they want the. Need my help, I'll be like, sure.
Sure, I'm going to Saipan. Do they have, like, restaurants up there? Well, they have restaurants up there that we don't have down here. Bubba Gump?
Yeah, Bubba Gump, right.
And then have that Harvest Place. There's, like, that bread and...
Right, our Triple J Bakery.
Triple J Bakery, yeah. That's theirs, right?
Yeah, so is Bubba Gump.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, good places.
When they said that Bubba Gump was coming and they went to Saipan, I was like, what? Wait a cotton pick in second. And how's it doing up there?
It's good? You know, it's doing very well. I mean, tourism is blooming there, you know, and so, which is good news. Mm-hmm. I mean, they need it.
For them, yeah.
Yeah.
But we just also found out that Delta is pulling out of Saipan March or something.
Since last month, right? They pulled out of
Guam. Yeah, so. But now they're pulling out of the Guam, their Palau to Saipan route. Yeah. So there's another vehicle that will be lost.
I guess they got to do what they got to do. But
yeah. So could you fix an airplane? Did you ever have to, like, think about getting into aircraft mechanics?
Right. I just figured, you know, if aircraft mechanics make mistakes, planes are falling out of skies.
So, there's that minor detail.
Big props to all those AMP technicians out there, the airframe and power plant technicians, you know. They have a big old responsibility. But
so what do you...
This is what the reason was.
Okay.
I can't take a plane home to fix it on the site.
What?
You know, if you're an aircraft mechanic, right? As an automotive technician, I was like, oh, you know, you got a couple of friends. You want to make a little extra money for the holiday. Like, hey, you know, bring it over to the house. Let me take a look at it. You know, so go to United and say, hey, bring over the.
Bring over. that AMP, I knew somebody who went through that process, AMP licensing process. Yeah. It's pretty intense.
It is. Yeah. It has to be, right? I mean, we're talking about planes and, you know.
You're right. And the lifestyle there is so much of it. You know that you can't even eat a poppy seed muffin
anywhere when you're on the plane?
No, if you're a mechanic, if you're an airline technician.
Oh, is that right?
You can't eat a poppy seed muffin. Like,
oh, because it comes up hot on your...
It comes as, yeah. It comes
your
up.
Your drug test.
Yeah. It comes up as an opiate. So they just tell you don't, you know what I mean? Just don't eat the doggone seed. And then we won't have to explain why that's in your system.
Substitute it with flax seed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's supposed to be better for you anyway.
Or chia or something like that. Yeah.
You say chia, I think of cheetah pet.
Me too. And I was like, I get freaked out because I eat chia seeds every single day. Every single day in my cereal.
Right.
But you know that they balloon when they're in liquid, right? So they look, it looks like frog eggs. You know when a frog, dispels its stuff.
I didn't know
the eggs,
it, but
it's
I'll
like
take
foam.
Your word for
it's
it.
Like foam.
Okay,
so that's what it looks like when it's all, when it's been, saturated with liquid. And it's slimy, and I don't know why I eat it, but there's just something about it that makes me want to eat it.
If there's a taste to it, if there's an acquired taste, and you know, then hey.
But I also found out that, like, if I eat a bowl of cereal and then I put like a tablespoon of chia seeds in it, right? I'll eat it, and I swear, like half an hour later, I'm so full I can't stand it. And I tell my daughter, I was like, I just had a bowl of cereal, and she's like, because chia seeds expand. Mm-hmm. So right now you're just sitting with a belly full of chia. She goes, why don't you not eat so much of them? But anyway, that's neither here nor there about cars.
It's like drinking Diet Coke and then And then having a couple of what do you call it? Where they reacts with the Coke and it just explodes.
The candy.
Yeah. The pop rocks.
No.
Where they drop the chewy candy into the Coke bottle.
Oh, really? Like Starburst or something, or Skittles?
What is it? Someone's out there.
Oh yeah. What was that experiment? It's one of the candies, and you put it. I thought it was Pop Rocks, but Pop Rock. That'd be crazy. That's carbonation, right? Basically.
Yeah.
Okay. But ulcers, so anyway, it's ulcers. Like doing that. You clean out your system is what you're saying.
No, I mean, it's like if you explode.
Yeah. Sorry. I was thinking about what element could you put into a car that would clean its innards? You know what I mean? Is there anything other than what, you know, lubricating it that keeps the engine clean?
Mentos.
Thank you. Thank you very much, my messenger friend.
Diet Coke. Don't do it.
Let's try it. Really? What happens?
I don't know. If it can have that type of chemical reaction,
makes you wonder what's happening
to your stomach.
What is in either one of those that would make that? Okay.
Whatever it is.
But there are additives. Additives, I think. Wasn't there a time in car maintenance history where there were additives on the market that they were suggesting that you use to clean your engine?
There are a slew of additives. I mean, you've got a lot of chemical engineers out there that market that, you know, come up with something good as an additive, and, you know, and they stand by it. They kind of give you the data that they've done and conducted the research that they've done independently. And, you know, the thing about it is that I'm not here to say that they're good or they're bad. What I am here to say is that most manufacturers don't condone the use of most additives because they don't know what adverse effect it might have, is the biggest issue, you know. So if the manufacturer hasn't tested for it, generally they won't recommend using it. Now, if you've got a product like you've got a Ford F-150 and you want to buy a fuel additive, generally if Ford, which is Motorcraft, that's, you know, Ford Motorcraft are one and the same, hasn't come out with some type of additive, then generally they won't recommend you use it because they don't know what adverse effect it could have on their components. And because, you know, you're like, well, you know, you crucify the product like, oh, this brand's, you know, it's just junk. But chances are, what have you been doing? Because we have 100,000 other people out there that are driving them, and we haven't seen this kind of problem before. So, you know, are you using something maybe that you have accustomed to in your other vehicles? Oh yeah, I use this fuel additive every time I gas it full. When I go to the gas station, I put it in there, I gas it full. And I was like, okay, so how long have you been using it? Oh, since I bought it. And I said, but have you had any issues prior to that that would necessitate you to have to use this additive? And I'm like, no, I just want to keep the fuel system clean. And I say, well, man, that could be a contributor as to why you're having so much issues now, you know, because we don't see it. It's all about the numbers when it comes to the dealership. I mean, the technicians have seen stuff. And yeah, that first problem is going to kick our butt, you know, trying to figure it out. But once we do, it's like, boom, it's like a pin on the wall with a paper saying, hey, look, be on the lookout for this.
Yeah.
And we'll know how to fix it right away. But when we see
you have to put the puzzle together.
Yeah. So, you know, and usually it's those rare occurrences where we kind of have to sit down and investigate, you know?
Yeah, it's like, it's something you ate.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was something you ate that screwed up ate that before.
And you ate it, and
this is why you're having a reaction.
It's quite possible, right. You know, and the thing about it too, it just kind of sets into the vehicle owner's mind, like, you know, you could have a point. I said, well, look, let's not stop using it, okay? Let's see where we go. Let's allow the system to kind of clean itself out normally, because, you know, our fuel these days is generally it's pretty good quality. I mean, we're not getting poor quality fuel, on the island. And generally, you don't really have the need unless the manufacturer of that specific product states that every 3 months you got to use our product to keep the fuel system clean. That's a very unique operating condition. So unless the manufacturer says it, don't worry too much about it. Save that money, you know, and put it to good use in your service, in your regular maintenance.
I have to ask you if you ever heard the story a few weeks ago of the guy who was trolling out at the American Grocer area Village Inn, and he was getting underneath the hoods of people's cars and messing with something. I was getting that the guy probably knew, had some knowledge of what he was disconnecting.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure chances are he was targeting specific vehicles that you could reach underneath the bumper or underneath the front of the vehicle. Chances are, if he's in the backside, he's probably trying to disconnect the fuel pump system, right, which is in the tank. And, you know, in some vehicles, they're easily accessible than others. So, I mean, it's just specific target. He's not going to go under there and, I mean, cut some stuff and hope that that's what it is and keeps you from running. But, yeah, it's just, man.
It was so bizarre how he was trying to come off as a mechanic and then actually disengaging things within the car to create a situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When there was nothing wrong with the cars at all.
Exactly. So I was under the impression that the customers would go into the store. He would, like, target that specific vehicle. Like, he already knows what to touch, what to do, you know, sabotage the vehicle and then kind of wait for the customer to come out and just that, you know, that look on their face like, oh man, what's wrong? Why is it cranking? It won't run. And
what he was doing was he would, as soon as they got in their car, he would stop them and go, wait, don't move. Did you notice that something was wrong with your car? And they're like, no. And he goes, open your hood. I'm a mechanic, and let me tell you what's wrong with it. But he would create this, like, emergency situation. They were freaking out, and they would let him go under the hood. And then
he's creating the anxiety point.
And then when he got under there, he was actually tinkering with something, and then disengaged whatever or created a situation.
Right.
So that he could get them to pay him for his service, then give him his cell phone number so that he could fix that problem. And so the cell phone number that he gave, we called, and it was like disconnected or didn't have any minutes or something like that.
It didn't work. It just went busy.
If anything, he started something that I think drivers and consumers will be on the lookout for. Basically, bottom line is, if anybody comes up to your car in any kind of parking lot situation, look, don't open your hood.
Yeah.
Don't
unlock your door. Chances are that person is going to mess with you, and which was the case. It was pretty creative,
right,
though.
Right.
Francis, hi. Good morning.
Hey, Mikey. How you doing,
bro? Good, good.
Hey, listen, now with the prices of gas soaring real high, what would you advise the public on gas saving tips besides driving the car? You know, I mean, staying, not going anywhere, you know, like appointments, important.
It's not older than 8 years. It's going to be pretty fuel efficient, but here are the very basics, and I know a lot of us are kind of hard to take.
I'm gonna hang up and listen to you.
Okay, great, right, great. Thanks. Okay, thanks for the call. But one thing is obviously your driving habit. You know, you were always in a hurry. I'm guilty for that this morning, right? Coming down here, I'm like, you know, gas brake. You know, yeah. So those are the things, the situations you want to avoid. If you can be patient and try and keep your throttle at less than a quarter throttle when you accelerate, and if you have all the time in the day to get there, then do so. Drive conservatively. That will save fuel. Number two is, if you've got a lot of stuff in your vehicle and it doesn't need to be in there and you know that it's heavy, take it out.
Really?
The lighter the car.
What are people putting in their vehicles? Like, well, coolers with ice? I mean, what?
It could be that, you know.
Just like weighed down with stuff? Like.
Yeah. I mean, whatever you can. I mean, I'm going to be honest. Case in point. Look at you go to a vehicle now on a brand new car. Mm-hmm. And then you ask your sales rep, does my vehicle come with one of those temporary spares? He'll tell you, in most cases, 50%, he'll say no, it comes with a pump and some solution to temporarily patch the leak so that you can get to the nearest tire facility and get it fixed. So eliminating that temporary spare, that piece of round steel, the, you know, the rubber that's on it, I mean, that takes weight.
So you're carrying my spare is on, hooked up to the back of my trunk.
Yeah.
And that's
junk
weight
in the trunk. But I mean,
he looked right at me and said, junk in the truck.
That's a different scenario. Yeah. You need that. I mean, if it comes with your vehicle in the
It's already been.
I mean, it's already there. But I mean, try to eliminate any unnecessary weight. I'm not talking about purses and school bags, but if you've got that, if you've got a cooler in there and you've got, you know, a 12 pack of drinks that the water's already evaporated out of it,
yeah,
then hey, take it down. But the biggest cost savings is trying as much as possible to drive conservatively. I mean, we all have to drive somewhere. There's no way around it. But drive conservatively and try not to be on your accelerator as much. Be conservative when you accelerate from a stop. Naturally, gradually accelerate, not just, you know.
Don't gun it when you're.
I'm 60 and I just got my license and dad gave me the key to the car.
0 to 60 in 5. Okay, so don't gun it when you're coming. Don't leap out of the intersection on a red
Whenever
light.
You can, yeah.
And not the stop and go. Coast when you can, is that what you're saying?
Exactly. I mean, you can notice that, okay, it's Wednesday night. You know that the market's happening in Agania. You got to pass through Agania to get to Asan. You know, you anticipate that slowdown and then maybe allow it to just kind of coast so that you're not sitting at the red light too long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
called go with the flow.
Yeah.
Go with the flow.
It's challenging.
Are we taking a last phone call here or we don't have any time for that one? Yeah. Okay. We don't have any time for it because we've only got like 40 seconds left. but thank you very much for this time around. Are we going to see you next time around too?
As much as they need me here.
Let's take Zach real quick.
Are you okay with that? All right. No problem with me. Hi, Zach.
Hi, no, this is Jack.
Jack. Hi, Jack.
The price of fuel and stuff like that, I switched to the lower
lower rate. Grade, right, the 87.
And I do notice my engine pinging when I go up a hill.
A hill, yeah, especially under kind of light or moderate acceleration or throttles.
Yeah. So, do I switch back or do I add fuel additive? My maintenance in the car is pristine, so.
I mean,
suggestion.
Yeah, Jack, you could switch back if you wanted to. What's happening is that it's going to take a couple hundred miles before the computer starts to adjust the spark timing.
Is it worth it though? Because it is a price increase. It's a lot. It's a lot between premium and regular.
Right. So, how old is your vehicle now?
It's 2014. Okay. That's from you guys.
Yeah, so it's still a newer vehicle. If it's within your budget to continue to use the premium, then I would. It'll
no additives.
But no additives.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Jack.
All right, Jack. You got the last word there, Jack. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you.
That's your Tech Talk brought to you by Triple J Auto Group.